This is Steve Schrock with another Franklin Matters radio show. This shares my conversation with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. This is the second of a series of conversations meant to provide a recap of the prior Town Council meeting, akin to some of the many sports post-games analysis broadcasts we're familiar with here in New England. This will be a discussion focused on the Town Council meeting, kind of the Thursday morning, or in this case, Thursday afternoon quarterbacking. Okay, what happened? What does it mean for Franklin residents and Franklin taxpayers? We have two major segments, one kind of regular business, where we discuss the lot line cleanup changes that continue. The cable fund transfer was authorized, and a GPS lease purchase agreement was approved to upgrade the DPW units. And then in the significant or important business area, with all due respect, all the business is important, but these are the two more important ones. The bylaw approval to create the Community Preservation Committee was approved. Authorization of the emergency funds for the water treatment plant, which actually replaced the funds that went awry based on the spear phishing incident that we've already talked of in other formats. So that authorization was completed. The show notes could include links to the meeting agenda and associated documents. Our conversation runs around 37 minutes, so let's listen in to Tom and I on our Thursday afternoon quarterbacking of the Town Council meeting. Steve Sherlock here for Franklin Matters, Franklin Public Radio, anywhere on the internet at WFPR.FM and on the local Franklin area radio dial at 102.9. Here, this session, for kind of the Monday morning, although from a town council perspective, it's really kind of the Thursday morning quarterbacking recap with Town Council Chair Tom Mercer. Tom, good day and welcome.
Well, good morning, good afternoon to you, Steve. A good snowy afternoon.
Good snowy afternoon, yes. Yeah, we've both been doing our share of shoveling.
Exactly. Most of the morning was shoveling snow and then snow blowing snow.
So, yes.
But it's all good. It's all good.
So. My schedule allowed me to take it off in chunks. So I did the first pass with the snow blower and then I lost one of those pins. So I had to replace that before the second pass.
Yeah.
And then I just completed kind of the cleanup and I realized that when I come in, oh, I forgot to do the front steps. So when I go do my walk after this, I'll do the steps before leaving. So there all good. This is the one piece. There's no critical timeline that I need to get it done on. It's just obviously before it freezes.
Exactly. That's obviously something we're all worried about. It's supposed to really turn cold this evening and the next couple of days. So anything you want to get clear, now's the time to do it.
Absolutely. So in terms of our kind of quarterbacking what happened the night before type, I've kind of broken into a couple of categories, kind of a regular business and kind of important business. With all due respect, everything you do is important, but some are just more important than others. So in the regular business category, the council approved the next set of the lot line cleanups, right?
Yes, we do. We've continued to do this the last few years where the Economic Development Subcommittee reviews a lot of the lot lines with our planning department. And we have a lot of areas that in town where the zoning has taken place and actual house lots and land lots have half the lot is in one zone and half the lot is in another zone. So what we're trying to do is clean those lot lines up and we're taking it in bits and pieces. And last night was just another section, a couple of sections that we've done where we have fine-tuned the zones so that no individual lot is split between like rural residential one and rural residential three or business and commercial. So it truly is a cleanup of lot lines, but it's something that's needed to be done. And we've over the last 2 or 3 years, we've done a great job, I think, and the planning department's done a great job in presenting to the council a lot of these cleanups.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, so. My own lot was in one of the batches, I believe, last year. And, you know, there's a bunch of paperwork. You just look through it. It makes sense. There's no real impact to the owner from a current perspective. But if somebody were to do, you know, further enhancements, then you'd potentially have a question as to which one you would go by. And that's why you're trying to at least clean it up to make it much clearer going forward.
Exactly. You know, we continue to do it. There's still a lot more to do. But obviously, every lot that we are making a change to, that landowner or homeowner is notified and has the opportunity to come and speak. And the planning department does a good job of explaining to them exactly what we're doing, why we're doing it, and how it affects them. It generally, when we have a lot line cleanup, we always try and make it the most beneficial for the homeowner.
Correct.
So if it's better for that piece of property for that homeowner or landowner to be in residential one or business two, mm-hmm. We make sure that that's how we rezone.
Yeah. And if somebody was asking, well, why don't you do them all at once? Well, it's a logistics nightmare.
Yes, it is.
Really, I mean, the planning board does their piece, brings it to yes. EDC, they approve, brings it to the council, you refer it out to the planning board, planning mm-hmm. board reviews that, then brings it back to the council, and then you've got the two hearings before it goes forward. So there's a significant process, so it's not done overnight. But then you also have to be mindful of how many you do at a time, because if somebody did have some significant questions, now you've got that many more people that have questions to get answered. And this is supposed to be kind of our regular business, not a special event.
Exactly. I think we found that early on. I think the first couple that we did a little bit, probably bit off a little more than we could chew.
A little too aggressive.
Yes. So we've scaled it down, and we've learned over time that doing this in small pieces is a much better way to do it.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. So. One of the other pieces that effectively comes up, I think it's on a quarterly basis, is based upon, I think it was a couple of years ago, Mass General Law changed so that the cable fees that are collected used to go directly to the cable authority, la Franklin Cable, but now have to be accounted through the town books. So you've got better control, because apparently somebody somewhere lost some control. So Mass General Law could change. So effectively it's a regular transaction from Verizon and Comcast.
That's correct. The fees that are collected that come, that basically come to the town now, because of the change in Mass General Law, has to come through the town before it goes to the cable committee and to the cable access. So what happens is, once a quarter, the amount collected, that the portion that comes back to the town and back to cable access, mm-hmm. We have to accept into the town coffers. And then we have to vote to move it to the cable access. So last night was the second piece, which is moving it from the town coffers into the cable access.
Right. So yeah, and that was the Comcast piece, I believe, prior right. to done Verizon. So yeah.
Exactly. So it's like a couple of pieces each quarter, because we do have both cable companies that do business in our town. So mm-hmm.
Yep. They operate in a competitive basis. Obviously, the competition is getting a little bit more so because of the cable cutting and using the Verizon, not so much, but the streaming services Right. Just an internet connection, so.
Sure. And you know, that came up in part of the discussion last evening, is, you know, there is some question from some of the council as to, you know, how do we get better service from Verizon? How do we get better service from Comcast? What are the things we can do to help reduce the cable costs to the community? And it's a very difficult task. And I think, and the majority of the council feels that by having two cable companies in town, at least you can pit one against the other.
Right.
And competition, obviously, in most cases, drives costs down.
Right.
So, and having the streaming piece come into the picture now, it's really, they're gonna, I think the cable companies over time are gonna struggle to keep their piece of the pie, so to speak.
Sure.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, and to clarify too, while we have that kind of local control and the Mass General Law covers the funds in and funds out, you at a local level, Franklin Town level, have the dual choice, but the regulations are really FCC federal base. So that's why we can't, we don't have much say in that, obviously, other than the competitive environment.
Exactly, exactly. We can allow one cable company, two cable companies, or whatever into the community. Mm-hmm. But really, that's all the power we have.
Right.
You know, it's all governed by Mass General Law as well as a federal law. So.
Yeah. Yeah, and then by way of disclosure as well, while I'm a volunteer, I'm using equipment from Franklin Public Radio, which is a beneficiary of the funds. And certainly they've been a great collaborator with the town in doing the Zoom meetings, the broadcasting, all the live video from the town channel, the school channel, and the community channel, as well as the radio.
And that's a really good point. And that's something that I'm sure the entire community probably is not aware of, is what these funds are used for. And they're used by the cable access, not only for public radio, our local radio station, our local TV station, the beautiful TV studio that we have down on Wachusett Street, off of Wachusett Street.
Hutchinson.
But anyway, that's a fantastic cable TV station, and anybody in the community that hasn't had an opportunity to get out and look and see what's being done down there, and it's all being done by these cable access fees that come back through the town to the cable access. And you know, there's not a whole lot of communities out there our size that have their own TV station, their own radio station.
Right.
And we're very fortunate. We have some great people down there, volunteers like yourself, that just love this type of this type of business and like being out there in radio land and TV land. And Pete Fasciano does a great job at the cable access studio. So, and they're, you know, just the fact that we were able to do, as we alluded to, I think in our last session, having the ability to do our budget hearings on the Franklin High School football field.
Live broadcast and radio.
Live broadcast and radio there. Who would have ever thought that that would have happened?
Right. But
it did happen, and it happened to a large degree thanks to Franklin Cable Access and Franklin Radio and the community, whose part of their cable fees go to subsidize the cable access.
So
it's all good stuff.
Yeah. And then back on one of your long-term capital budget items is actually extending the internet connection from the gym out to the field. So if there is another opportunity, we can do it via cable, live cable broadcast video instead of just radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, these are just things that it continues to evolve, and As we move forward, we find these different things, and technology changes. You know, what was commonplace this morning isn't this afternoon.
No.
It's almost that fast that things change. So
right.
We need to keep up with the times, but I think we have a great team in place at Cable Access to make sure that we are kept up with the times and our equipment is right up to date. Mm-hmm. And that's all good stuff.
And speaking of equipment being up to date, the DPW is updating their GPS devices, which are in all the vehicles, not the lawnmowers, but all the registered vehicles.
You heard that comment from
us. Oh, yeah. That was a valid question.
Very valid question. Fortunately, Brutus was there to last evening to answer it. But yes, we do have GPSs in all our equipment, all our registered equipment by registered that can go onto the street.
Mm-hmm.
So that we know where all our plows are, all our trucks are, all the trucks plowing for us are throughout the town.
Yeah, so I recall that's one of the contractor requirements. They have to have a GPS, which then coordinates somehow with our system. So we know where they are covering our streets on our behalf.
That's exactly correct. And this was something that was put into place a few years ago. And it's really served our benefit. We have, if a citizen calls up and says, geez, I've got 6 inches of snow on my street. I haven't seen a plow in 5 hours. What's going on? We can look and we can tell exactly what time that mm-hmm. plow went down that street.
He either went down or he's coming around the corner, actually.
Exactly. We know right away. Or if they hadn't been there, we can dispatch a plow there immediately.
Right. Oops, we missed him.
Yeah. So it's an invaluable tool. We've used it on many occasions for not just snow, but for many different things.
Mm-hmm.
We always know where our people are and where our vehicles are. So,
yeah.
This was just an upgrading of the lease agreement and purchasing updated GPSs. To be used. And we have approximately, give or take, 60 GPSs.
Yeah, I think that's the number I heard last night as well. Yeah. And I think this may be one where clearly the predominance of the agreements and purchases were literally that, purch to own, whereas Mass General Law requires for a lease purchase, the legislative body, i.e. the town council, needs to approve. I suspect over time, if more and more lease purchases come through, that may change. But until that does, it's a separate approval.
Exactly. That's correct. And we hope as things move forward, again, changing mass general laws takes time.
Takes time. Yes.
It does take time. So, that's one of the changes that we would hope happens relatively quickly. But time will tell.
Yes. And one of the pieces on the future radar I have, based on the time taken last night with the community passing the Community Preservation Act at the November election, after the two hearings, deliberations, the Community Preservation Committee approval was formed last night. So we'll be able to take benefit of that as the months go, but there's still work to be done.
That's right. And, it's really, really a positive time for the town. Having passed the Community Preservation Act, we tried once before many years ago.
2007.
And it's something that we've missed out on a lot of state funds over the last 13 years that we could have been gaining. But that being said, the voters did make the decision back then. We did bring it back to the voters this year. And, fortunately, the voters passed better than 60% voted in favor of passing the Community Preservation Act, which just basically, it's a small additional tax to the community, the taxpayers in town. But the return, the added dollars that come back to the town from the state, and it's earmarked for specific things. It can only be used for, you know, historical, open space, senior, all the, there's a limitation as to what it can be.
Historical preservation and affordable housing. And all of those topics, all of those topics are everyday topics of regular conversation.
Absolutely. Right? They are.
I was saying to Jamie the other day, I don't think we've had a Talk Franklin session where we haven't discussed one of those topics.
That's exactly right. They're right on the tip of our tongue, and they're on, one of them is on almost every council agenda,
right,
in one way, shape, or form. Yeah. And last night, what was done was, the second part of that, after the town passes, then it's up to the legislative body to come up with and to set up a community preservation committee.
Committee, right.
Who actually control, to a degree, they control how those dollars are spent. And obviously, council has final say.
Correct.
But the recommendations come from the Community Preservation Committee.
Right.
And that committee is based up of a member from five different local boards and then four at large. That's what the vote was last evening.
Correct.
There's one from the planning board, one from CONCOM, school, and historical. And
I tried to come up with the five earlier.
I'm missing one, but anyway, there are five committee,
right,
commit, and each of those committees will make a recommendation to the town administrator as to who they'd like from their committee, mm-hmm, to one represent rep
per, yep,
one rep per committee of those five committees, and then the town administrator will make that recommendation to the town council for final ratification. Again, town council has final ratification of all appointments. There was some discussion over the last meeting as well as last night, mm-hmm, as to who should be appointing or recommending these, certainly the at-large appointments.
Right.
And there was some discussion whether it should be the council or whether it should be the town administrator. And we got into a little bit of a discussion over the last couple of meetings as to who it should be. But if you look at every other committee appointment in the town of Franklin, goes through the town administrator. And then the town administrator reports to the town council or recommends to the town council. Town council has ratification power.
Right.
And that's finally the decision that was made last night, where the majority of the council felt very strongly, mm-hmm, that we should continue in that vein, where Jamie will vet whatever number of candidates, and I think it'll be substantial. I think there's a lot of interest in the Community Preservation Committee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, there may be 10, maybe 15, maybe 20 people.
Yeah. That or will, more, who knows?
Yeah. Or more that could throw their names into the hat. Jamie will vet those and come to the council with his recommendations for those four at-large positions. And then the council will have final say as to whether they like those four, or, you know, maybe the council only likes three of the four,
mm-hmm,
or
right,
two of the four.
Yeah.
And then Jamie would have to go back and bring back somebody else,
right,
to be ratified. So yeah, that's the way that's going to work. The plan, as Jamie and I have had a few discussions about this over the past month, and he hopes to get it in place very quickly, but certainly taking our time to get the correct candidates and the correct people onto this committee. And we're hoping that over the month of January, we will accomplish that and get them up and running, because there's a lot of things going on. There's land opportunities out there. There are historical pieces out there. We need to get this committee in place and get them started. Yeah. And we're very fortunate because our town attorney has a lot of it with the Community Preservation Act, because he chairs the committee in his hometown.
Right.
As well as Jamie has been involved with the Community Preservation Committee, the state level, before he, long before he came here.
Yeah.
So
20 years ago.
Exactly. So we're very fortunate to have both of those individuals on our team and being able to help lead our committee and help them to get themselves started and off and running. So really looking forward to this committee getting started and looking for good things to come in the future.
Yeah, I think I said it in with Jamie's conversation too, but it's worth repeating here. While there's an awful lot of collaboration and coordination to conduct business anyway, so planning board does the lot line, EDC does, planning board then, planning department, excuse me, then EDC, planning board, town council, this particular Community Preservation Committee really, as I understand it, institutionalizes a lot of those coordinations and collaborations just by the way they have to do business. Because to your point and to the statute itself, they do the due diligence and the vetting of the projects as they're proposed, and then determine this one or that one comes to the town council, which then there's a review and approval. But that committee does the work, which is why there's the broad representation. What's the historical aspect? What's the open aspect? What's the affordable aspect? Boom, boom, boom. All of these pieces play. And then you can't do that in a vacuum. Obviously, they're going to abide by open meeting law. There's still going to have to be some communications, negotiations, shirt cuff selling, et cetera, virtual water coolers. I mean, we used to have a real water cooler pre-pandemic. We could talk around.
Yeah. Oh, and that's the beauty of this is you've got experts or very knowledgeable people
in each of the areas.
Each of the areas on this committee. Now, think about if you didn't have those and you're coming to the council with something like this. We don't have the experts in all these different fields. We don't have the knowledge base that these individuals will have. Right. So if they do all the vetting and then come before the council, we can focus on the big picture and say, okay, yeah, this is really good. We know the homework has been done, that this project should be coming forward first, and this project should follow it. And these are the reasons why.
Right.
And they've already done all of that work. So those are the kinds of things that I look forward. Certainly sitting in my seat, I say, thank you very much.
Yes.
Because this is something.
You've got enough on your plate. You don't want to go that far.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, so. And then I think the other piece that's certainly related to that is I'm anticipating that clearly the town budget from school and or town side has always been challenged just by operational issues. So thereby, whether it's the Old South Meeting House or an open space piece or anything in that realm, now instead of competing against operational dollars, so do we put a kid in the seat, a teacher in the chair, or just now you've got the community preservation as a separate bucket. Now, granted, it's a small bucket. It will build over time. Right. But you got a separate bucket of funds that you don't have to challenge the town budget with.
Exactly. And the other piece of this that, and it's something that may come up at some point, is if for some reason there was a building, a historical building or a historical piece that came up and the funds weren't readily available,
right?
You can borrow, the town can then borrow against future CPA funds.
Correct.
If it was that important, a historical building that we would like to keep in our realm, that here's an opportunity. This is just another piece,
right,
that of the puzzle that allows us to deal with.
So. Agreed. Yeah, because our fund will accumulate approximately $1.5 million a year. Clearly, if something $10 million comes up, it's going to take a few years to get to that. But we'd have some money, cash down payment, and then we could talk to the bank. They could do kind of the long-term mortgage equivalent, et cetera. And now we can do a deal.
Exactly. But the other piece of that that the Community Preservation Act will spend a lot of time looking at is, okay, do we want to put our next 5 years into this one building?
Right. Right.
Because there aren't going to, all these monies over the next 5 years, let's say it's a $5 million project, or $5 million building that we're looking to purchase. Yeah,
project's probably a safer word, because whatever it is.
Yeah, exactly, project. So it's a $5 million project, and we've got $1 million, and the Community Preservation Committee feels this is really important enough that they want to do nothing over the next 4 years till that money is paid back. So those are some of the decisions and the discussions that will happen with the Community Preservation Committee.
Right. Yep.
But it's all good. It's all good.
I appreciate the effort. I certainly, having been part of the reporting side, if you will, and the news along the way, I was glad we got a great turnout. I was glad it passed. And now I'll continue to help spread the news as this project or that project comes along, because this is going to be interesting times. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah. As am I, Steve, as am I.
Another piece of significant business, at least, was kind of a temporary close, but certainly not a close by any means, to the spearfishing piece. But the funds that had been misdirected truly do need to be paid to the vendor for the work to go on. So you did authorize the emergency funds to be utilized for that purpose.
That's correct. Something that we've done over the last few years, we've set aside $1 million that we keep as for emergencies, and these kinds of emergencies, not necessarily just this, but
there water main broke or something.
Water main broke.
Beaver Street interceptor, heaven forbid.
There you go. Yeah. Please don't even mention or think about that.
No.
Because that $1 million wouldn't do anything to
it's a drop in the bucket, literally.
Exactly. So the $1 million emergency fund, we felt was the right place to go to continue to help to take the money from to deal with the Spear Phishing Act and to get the money that's necessary into the water resource so that we could pay the vendor for the work that's been done and continue with that project, because that, that water project is a huge piece. We need to get it done. We need to get it done
right
now.
Yeah.
So this was just, and as you said, it's not a close. We continue to work to recoup some of these funds, and as those funds are recouped, those would go right back in to the emergency fund, not into the town coffers, but into the to replace the money that we just took from the emergency fund for the vendor, to take care of the vendor.
Yep. Yeah, because the investigations clearly, you know, they may have a breakthrough. They may happen in 2 weeks. They may happen in 2 years. Who knows, right? But in the meantime, the vendor wants his money. He's not going to wait 2 years.
No, he's not. And, no. You know, the
and
one
yeah,
thing
the
that
two
we
wells,
did...
well three and six.
Six.
One, exactly. One has been pretty much offline. The other one's been at limited use. Both of those add significant capacity back to us.
Significant. And it's just so important. The one thing that we're fearful of if we did not get these funds to the contractor was the contractor reducing his staff or reducing or walking away from the project.
Right, for lack of payment. Whatever.
For lack of payment. Mm-hmm. And we just could not afford for that to happen because the wells are just so important to get online. So, So this was, and certainly in my opinion, and in the majority of the council's opinion, this was the right place to go to borrow the funds to deal with the contractor. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good. So I think from a kind of Thursday morning, although it's actually afternoon, recap quarterbacking of the council meeting, I think that gives the gist of the meeting in terms of what happened last night to close out.
Absolutely. I think, you know, it wasn't a marathon session like like our last meeting was, but there were some good things. I didn't want a large agenda before the holidays, but I did feel that we needed to deal with the spearfishing piece. We also had to deal with CPA. We wanted to make sure
get that timeline going.
So depending upon how long the discussion went on, I wanted to make sure there was plenty of time for citizen input on both pieces. Mm-hmm. And there was obviously some citizen discussion about those things last night. So, so it's all good.
All good.
Yeah.
Indeed. And you said you also approved next year's calendar. So,
yes,
we'll go to the calendar and I'll set up for our Thursday sessions.
Okay. All right.
Now that I know the calendar, it's good.
Yeah, the calendar is good. So please do. I do think these follow-up radio sessions with you are just another good piece of trying to communicate as best we can with the citizens of the community. So. All
right, I agree. And I thank you for your time and willingness to do this because, I can't do it alone. I certainly need you in the tango session, so to speak.
Certainly.
As we do the Zoom dance, if you will.
You know, we've all become experts on Zoom, for
Yes, indeed.
So.
Well, again, in case I don't see you in another Zoom session, have a happy holiday period and a happy new year. And we'll start off 2021 next year.
That's great, Steve, and certainly happy holidays to you and your family, as well as to all the citizens of Franklin. And I think I'll close with the statement I used last night. Let's all hope for a vaccine-filled 2021.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one thing we didn't touch on, but that's okay. That's covered in other places.
It is, for sure. All right, Steve, thank you very much.
We are now producing this in collaboration with Franklin TV and Franklin Public Radio, WFPR-FM. This podcast is my public service effort for Franklin, but we can't do it alone. We can always use your help. How can you help? If you can use the information you find here, please tell your friends and neighbors. If you don't like something here, please let me know. Through this feedback loop, we can continue to make improvements. And I thank you for listening. For additional information, please visit franklinmatters.org. If you have questions or comments, you can reach me directly at suresteve@gmail.com. The music for the intro and exit was provided by Michael Clark and the group East of Shirley. The piece is titled Ernesto Mañana, copyright Michael Clark and Tin Type Tunes, and used with their permission. I hope you enjoy. You can also subscribe and listen to Franklin Matters Radio on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. Search in podcasts for Franklin Matters.